بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. We begin the chapter. The author, he has mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى، باب لا يذبح لله بمكان، لا يذبح لله بمكان يذبح فيه لغير الله. The chapter, the author, he has entitled that it is not permissible to slaughter for the sake of Allah, and with ikhlas and sincerity, in a place that it is slaughtered for other than the sake of Allah. That this is not permissible. We see the previous chapter, the author, he has mentioned the ruling for slaughtering, al-dhabh, for other than Allah. The previous chapter, the author, he mentioned Babu ما جاء في الذبح لغير الله, the chapter with regards to that which has come in the book and in the sunnah, clarifying the impermissibility, rather the fact that it is shirk to slaughter for other than Allah, to slaughter for other than Allah. This chapter here is attached to the previous chapter, but the issue here is not slaughtering for other than Allah, rather this is the issue of slaughtering for Allah alone, but in a place where it was or it is slaughtered for other than Allah, and the place of the worship of the mushrikeen, that it's not permissible to even go there, to these places where the mushrikun, they slaughter for other than the sake of Allah. For example, in the graves where they go, or to the places where they have their idols, so on and so forth, or the places where they have their rituals, and they slaughter for other than Allah in these places. It's not permissible for a believer to go to that place and to slaughter for the sake of Allah with sincerity. It's not permissible for a believer to go to that place and slaughter for the sake of Allah with sincerity. This is not considered shirk to go there, but it's impermissible to do this, to stop the path that lead to shirk, and also so that one would not be deceived and tricked, or that the people of falsehood, they would not seem that they have others along with them upon their way, and so on and so forth. So this is not permissible to slaughter for the sake of Allah alone in a place where there is slaughtering for other than the sake of Allah. This is not permissible. So the author, he has mentioned this chapter to clarify and in this reality that it is not permissible for the people of al-Iman and the people of faith and the people of al-Islam to imitate the people of falsehood and the people of evil and the people of shirk and the people of sin. It's not permissible to imitate them or to resemble them in their evil and in their shirk or in their disobedience. And likewise, it's not permissible to participate with them in those places where they perform their shirk or their disbelief or their innovation and their sin. It's not permissible for the believer to resemble them, nor to participate with them in their actions. Rather, it's incumbent for a believer to be separate from the people of falsehood, from the people of sin and transgression, from the people of shirk and disbelief, from the people of innovation, from the people of sin and wickedness. A believer, he would be distanced from them and on a different path and upon a different way, and he would not resemble them, not in their worship, or not, and he would not participate with them likewise in the same place or in the same gatherings, in the same place nor in the same gatherings. The author, he mentioned a verse and a hadith from the narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to clarify the ruling, what he has established here. لا يذبح لله بمكان يذبح فيه لغير الله. It's not permissible to slaughter, and the prohibition of slaughtering for the sake of Allah in a place where it is slaughtered in for other than the sake of Allah. وَقَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, لَا تَقُمْ فِيهِ أَبَدًا, لَا تَقُمْ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. He mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, the meaning of which is, and do not stand in it ever, and never stand in it, al-ayah, and to the end of the verses. And do not stand in it ever. This is referring to Masjid al-Dirar. The verse before this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مَسْجِدًا ذِرَارًا وَكُفْرًا وَتَفْرِيقًا بَيْنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَإِرْصَادًا لِمَنْ حَرَبَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ ولا يحلفن إن أرادنا إلا الحسنى والله يشهد إنهم لكاذبون. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, those who have taken al-masjid, masjid al-diraran. Masjid al-dirar is the masjid that was established for harm, al-madarra. That this masjid was established not upon piety and righteousness, but rather there were some munafiqun who established a masjid. But they were not believers, and their intent from establishing the masjid was to establish a base and a fort so that they can gather there under the cover of Islam, and they could plot against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and eventually they can fight him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Allah, He revealed these messages. Those people who have established the masjid dirar, masjid dirar, this harmful masjid, and He based upon disbelief and separating and dividing the Muslims and lying in wait and establishing a fortress to fight against Allah in war and His Messenger from before, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they swear to you by Allah that they only want good, and verily Allah, He testifies that they are liars. So then Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, لَا تَقُمْ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. This masjid that was established for this purpose, do not stand in it ever. Never stand in that masjid. And the verse continues, in Allah, He says, لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَنْ تُكُومَ فِيهِ. The masjid that is established upon piety and righteousness, at taqwa, from the very first day, has more right that you stand in it. فِيهِ رِجَالٌ يُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَتَطَحَّرُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّحِّرِينَ. In this masjid, there are men who love to be purified, and Allah, He loves those who purify themselves, and Allah loves those who purify themselves. So there were munafiqun in the area of Masjid Quba, and they had planned to build a masjid, and they sought permission from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they claimed that they only wanted to build their masjid for those who are weak, for the du'afa, and for those people who have disabilities and hardship, for them to go to the other masjid, also for the winter nights, so on and so forth. This was their claim, that they only wanted to build this masjid for this purpose, to help the weak Muslims, and so they wouldn't have to travel so far, and also to make it easy for those who find difficulty on the cold nights. And they made this claim like this, but in reality they were plotting against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were establishing a base and a fort, and they were using this masjid as its purpose. And one of their leaders, his name was Abu Amir al-Fasiq, or Abu Amr al-Dhal. He was known by this name, and he was from those munafiqun that participated with them in this way. And they had asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come there and to pray, and to bless their masjid and to pray there. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He told them that we're on our way out. He was on his way to Ghazwat Tabuk, and this is in the ninth year of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet told them that they were on their way to a battle, to the battle of Tabuk, and this excursion. And he said, inshallah, whenever we come back, we will pray there. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at this time, he had no news, or he was not aware of their plot or plan. So he told them, inshallah, whenever we come back from the battle or from the excursion, we will come to you and pray there. And whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was returning, whenever he was returning, he became close to the area of Medina. This was revealed to him, their plot and how they had built this masjid as a harm and an attempt to divide the Muslims, and an attempt to divide the Muslims, and based out of disbelief. Their intention was not to build the masjid for the sake of Allah at all. Rather, their intent to build this masjid was to establish a base for disbelief, and to establish a place for them to gather there to plot against the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This place was not built for Islam whatsoever. So this was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their plot. And then also Allah, He said to him, to his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لا تقم فيه أبدا. Never, do not ever stand in that masjid. لا تصلي فيه أبدا. Never, never pray in that masjid. And here the word أبدا is important. Never, never ever pray in that masjid. Never. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent some of his companions there, and they went there and they destroyed that masjid and they burnt it to the ground. They went there and they destroyed that masjid and they burnt it to the ground. So the point here is that this masjid was built for disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was a place that was established for the disobedience of Allah and for disbelief. And this was a place that had become a place where Allah is very angry with those people there, and a place of disbelief and evil. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He prohibited His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from going there and praying there. And it is known that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he only prays for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. If he would go there, him and his companions, he would not go there and pray for the idols or for anyone else. Rather, he would go there and pray with ikhlas. He would go there and pray with sincerity, only for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. But Allah prohibited him from that because of this place, and the intent behind this place was a place of evil and a place of disobedience and a place where the disbelievers and the people of falsehood and the people of evil have established their falsehood there. Then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was forbidden from praying there sincerely for the sake of Allah. So we see this is the point of evidence for the author in this chapter. Similarly like this, it is not permissible to slaughter for the sake of Allah in a place where they have already established this disobedience and this active shirk for slaughtering other than the sake of Allah. We see the resemblance, the aspect, how the author, he uses verse as a proof. It's clear. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was prohibited for praying in Masjid al-Dirar. Why? Because it was a masjid established for disobedience, and it was a masjid that was established for upon disbelief and disobedience to Allah and His Messenger. So even though the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was going to pray there, if he prayed there, he would pray there sincerely for the sake of Allah, he was still prohibited. Allah still prohibited him from going there and even praying for the sake of Allah. Now, because this place is a place that is established from the very beginning upon falsehood and evil. So it's not permissible to go there and to participate with him upon that, even if one were going to be doing it for the sake of Allah. So here the author, he is saying this is the same ruling here, just as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was prohibited to do this, to perform an action sincerely for the sake of Allah in a place of disobedience that was established for falsehood and disobedience. Then likewise, slaughtering, which is an act of worship, to do that for the sake of Allah also is not permissible in a place that has been established where they perform shirk there and the action of slaughtering for other than the sake of Allah. The same reason. So he made qiyas here, and it's very correct and clear. It's very correct and clear that this is an analogy that is correct, that this is an equal understanding, and the ruling is the same. So it is not permissible to slaughter for the sake of Allah in a place where they slaughter for other than the sake of Allah. To go there and to say, no, my intention is good. My intention is good. I'm not participating with them. All of them are around the grave. All of them are in the place where they commit shirk or and the likes like this, and they're slaughtering for the wali, or they're slaughtering for the grave, or they're slaughtering for their idols, or whatever the case may be, for their jinn. And he would say, no, I'm not slaughtering for them. I'm only slaughtering for Allah. This is not permissible. This is not permissible. This is not permissible. Because of this verse here is very clear. But also what testifies to this understanding, the author, he mentioned the next narration, and this makes it even more clear. He says, عن ثابت بن الضحاك رضي الله عنه قال نذر رجل أن ينحر إبلا ببوانا. ثابت بن الضحاك رضي الله عنه, he said that there was a man, he made a nadhar. Nadhar is to make a vow or an oath. By Allah, I'm going to do this. Or by Allah, I will do that. Or by Allah, I swear by Allah, it's obligatory for me to do this. Or if Allah does this for me, then it's obligatory for me to do this. This is called nadhr. Like this. To make something obligatory upon oneself that's originally not obligatory. And many times it comes in this manner with ta'riq. Saying, for example, somebody will find himself sick, or his child is sick, or his beloved family members, so on and so forth, is sick, and he will say, if Allah cures his child, then he will fast this day. Or if Allah cures this child, he will slaughter this animal and give the meat for the poor. Or if Allah helps him get a job, or whatever the case may be, fulfill his desire and need, then he will do this. And this is called nadhr. And this is something that is disliked. And even some of the ulama mentioned it's not permissible. But if it was performed correctly, and the nadhr was made correctly, it's an obligation to fulfill it. So this is the case of the nadhr. The next chapter is also discussing the issue of the nadhr. Inshallah, we'll take some more details with regards to that in the next chapter. So he says, a man, he made an oath or a vow to slaughter some camels in Bawana. Bawana is a place near the shore, close to Yanbu'. And al-Mamlaka al-Arabiya al-Saudiya, close to the shore, away from away from Medina, Nam, and their plateaus there, or high ranges close to the shore and the sea. So this man, he made an oath to go there, to this particular place, and to slaughter some camels, and for the sake of Allah. فَسَأَلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَ هَلْ كَانَ فِيهَا وَثَنٌ مِنْ أَوْثَانِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يُعْبَدُ. He said, were there some idols that were worshipped in the time of Jahiliyyah in that place? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked him. And at this time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he started to seek some details before answering his question. So the man, he said that he had made an oath and a vow to slaughter these animals at this particular spot, in this particular place. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at this time, because now it's possible that maybe there this place is a place of Jahiliyyah or a place of shirk. Why did he specify this place? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants to make sure that there is no reason why it would be impermissible. Although it's permissible or it could be permissible, also this situation could be impermissible. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now he's checking before he gives him the fatwa, he's asking for the details. And from those details, he says, was there a wathan, and an idol? And a wathan is anything that's worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, like a grave or a stone or a rock or a tree. A wathan, anything that's worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, is called wathan. And he said, was there an idol from the idols of Jahiliyyah that used to be worshipped there? And the man, he said, they said, قالوا لا. They said, no. قال فهل كان فيها عيد من أعيادهم. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did it in this particular place where there are celebrations from their celebrations, any celebration that they used to use that place for celebrating the celebrations of the disbelievers and the celebrations of Jahiliyyah. قالوا لا. So they said no. So we see here in the first place, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked, was there an idol there that used to be worshipped? And is it there, or was that a place? And whether it was there, or even if it used to be a place where they slaughtered, where they worshipped idols besides Allah Azza wa Jalla there. So here he's questioning the issue of shirk, the possibility of this being a place of shirk. And then the next, he said no. So this part is out of the way. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked him, is this a place where they would make celebrations? Celebrations of the disbelievers, and of the time of Jahiliyyah, the celebrations of Jahiliyyah. Now he's asking about those means that lead to shirk, and that means that lead to their way. So just like committing shirk or going to that place where the shirk is there, this is not permissible. Likewise, going to the place where they party and celebrate their celebrations, the celebrations of the disbelievers, also it's not permissible to go to these places for worship as well. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he checked on both affairs, and they said no. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَوْفِي بِنَذْرِكَ. He said, then fulfill your oath. If that's the case, if there's not a place of idols that used to be there, or it's not a place also where they used to celebrate their celebrations of falsehood and evil and disbelief, then go there then, no problem, and and fulfill your oath. He said, فَإِنَّهُ لَا وَفَأَ لِنَذْرٍ فِي مَعْسِيَةِ اللَّهِ. Because it's not permissible to fulfill the oath or the vow in the disobedience of Allah. So likewise, we see from here that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he checked on the first affair, which was it a place with idols from the days of ignorance? So meaning that, and then he said no. So then he said, go there then, because it's not permissible to fulfill an oath in the disobedience of Allah. Meaning that if there was an idol there, or if it was a place of idols and worship of Jahiliyyah, then it would not be permissible to go there, because it's not permissible to fulfill the oath and the disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So it's understood from that to go there and to slaughter in that place where there are idols of Jahiliyyah, that this would be considered disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So it's not permissible. This is exactly what the author he's mentioning. The title is in accordance exactly with this narration. Nam, it's not permissible. Nam, because he asked, and whenever he was informed that this is not a place for this issue, this is not a place of the Othan of Jahiliyyah being there, then he said, okay, go ahead and go. And he made the reason for that because verily it's not permissible to fulfill the oath and the disobedience of Allah. Meaning if that place had the idols there, then it would not be permissible to go there and fulfill his oath, because that would be disobeying Allah. Slaughtering in that place would be considered an action of disobedience to Allah. Naam. And likewise, the second issue, the same understanding. Is it a place of celebration from the celebrations of the disbelievers? and the time of Jahiliyyah, and he said no. So the same understanding likewise, to go to that place to worship and to slaughter in one of those places where it is a place of celebration for the disbelievers, or it was a place of celebration for the disbelievers, then it's also not permissible to go there. It's disobedience to go there and to slaughter there likewise. Now, this is what is understood here. فَأَوْفِ بِنَذْرِكَ. Fulfill your oath. فَإِنَّهُ لَا وَفَأَ. And you fulfill your oath because it's not a place of Othan al-Jahiliyyah. And fulfill your oath because it's not a place of the celebrations of the people of Jahiliyyah. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for verily it is not permissible to fulfill the oath in the disobedience of Allah. وَلَا فِي مَا لَا يَمْلِكُ إِبْنُ آدَمَ. Also, and that which the individual does not own himself. رواه أبو داود وإسناده على شرطهما. رواه أبو داود يعني صاحب السنن. And it's in the chain of this narration is on the condition the author he says of Bukhari and Muslim. Bukhari and Muslim. So we see he said here it's not permissible to fulfill an oath in the disobedience of Allah. So if somebody swore to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, it's not permissible for him to fulfill that oath. If somebody swore, for example, he took an oath, he said, if Allah, for example, cures his child, then he is going to drink alcohol. Or if he took an oath, ayyadhan billah, that such and such, or even if he did not make any condition whatsoever, he said, for example, he swears by Allah that he is going to make zina. For example, a'udhu billah, it's not permissible to fulfill this oath. Naam, la wafa'a lil-nadhri. في معصية الله. It's not permissible to fulfill the oath in the disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. نعم. And it has also come in the narration of Aisha رضي الله عنها that she said من نظر أن يعصي الله فلا يعصي فلا يعصي. That whoever made it an oath or a vow to disobey Allah, then let him, then he should not fulfill that oath. He may not disobey Allah. The next chapter will discuss this issue inshallah in more detail. But here we see, so it's not permissible if a person, he made an oath or a vow to disobey Allah, it's not permissible for him to fulfill that. It is not permissible for him to fulfill that. Also, if somebody made a vow with regards to something that he does not own, for example, to say if Allah helps him find a wife, then he will give his neighbor's car in charity. Like this is not permissible. This is not permissible. Now, this is not permissible. Likewise, also the ulama, they mentioned the same understanding. Wala fi ma la yamliku ibn Adam. Also, it's not permissible to fulfill an oath in something that the person does not own or have any control over. It's not in his under his any ownership or ability. They say, for example, that he would make an oath to fly with his hands. If Allah does this, then I will fly with my hands. The ulama, the fuqaha, they mentioned this. But in any case, this is the meaning. And you can't make an oath and you can't fulfill the oath like this. This is not permissible in either way. It's not permissible either way. The point of the author is clear, that it's not permissible to slaughter in this place. The place where it is slaughtered for other than the sake of Allah, because this is considered imitating the kufar and imitating the people of disbelief and the mushrikeen. Even though this person, because a person, he can't tell the difference. This place is a known place where they slaughter, they worship, and they slaughter animals for other than the sake of Allah. And it's known. And then somebody else is going to go there and he's going to perform that action. And there's no way to know the difference between the two. Both of the actions are exactly the same. There's no difference whatsoever in the way that the mushrik slaughters and the way the Muslim slaughters. You cut the throat of the animal. Naam, until the blood spills. The only difference is the intention. So some people may think that he's along with them. So some people may think that that person, he is over there associating with them. So then maybe they would think bad about him. Or even the people of falsehood would think that he's along with them likewise. So they would gain honor and they would have more numbers. And they would also continue even stronger upon their way because they have people along with them participating in their falsehood like this. So there's many reasons that it's not permissible to do this. And that it's not permissible to do this. Naam. So Shaykh Ibn Baz, he mentioned about this fa'ida from this narration here, and he said al-fa'ida min iradi hadha al-hadith fi kitab al-tawhid annahu la yajuzu tashabbuhu bi'ada'illah fi af'alihim wa anna min kamal al-tawhidi wa tamamihi adamu tashabbuhi bi'ada'illah. He said, and from the benefits of this narration being mentioned in the book of Tawheed is that it is not permissible to imitate and to resemble the enemies of Allah. and their actions. It's not permissible to imitate them nor their actions. And that from the completeness of At-Tawheed and from the perfection of At-Tawheed is to not resemble the enemies of Allah. Is to not resemble the enemies of Allah. Imitating the enemies of Allah Azza wa Jalla from the people of the book particularly, the Jews and the Christians, this is from the deficiency in Tawheed. This is from a deficiency in Tawheed. This is what Shaykh Ibn Baz is referring to. That from the completeness of Tawheed and from the perfection of a Tawheed and the Iman of a believer is that he would not resemble the people of falsehood and that which is specific to them. Especially not in their actions of worship and their celebrations of falsehood. Especially not in their actions of worship and their celebrations of falsehood. Naam. So the author, he mentions, rahimahullah, and he says, فيه مسائل. In this chapter, there are some issues related here in benefits. الأولى تفسير قوله لا تقم فيه أبدا. The first mas'ala is the explanation or the interpretation of the statement of Allah عز وجل, and do not stand in it ever. And in that masjid, and that explanation has preceded. نعم الثانية أن المعصية قد تؤثر في الأرض وكذلك الطاعة. The author, he mentions here that disobedience, it could have an effect in the earth, and it could affect the land and the earth, the area, the place, and likewise obedience. We see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in an authentic narration, ju'ilat li al-ardu masjidan wa tahuran, that the whole earth was made a masjid for me and a place of purification. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was forbidden for praying in this place ever, forever, and it was built as a masjid, and so they claimed, and the whole earth was made as a masjid for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and a place of purification, but because of the foul intention and the evil deed that they performed in that particular land, in that particular place, Allah azza wa jalla, he said to his Prophet, la taqum fihi abada, never stand in that place, never stand in that place. Now, so then disobedience can have an effect in a place and an area, and likewise obedience. Naam al-thalitha, he says, raddu al-mas'alati al-mushkila ila al-mas'alati al-bayyina li yazula al-ishkal. You need to refer the affair that is unclear to the affair that is clear, so that the problem or the ambiguity will be removed. Yani meaning that this companion, we see that he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, should he do it? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever there is ambiguity there, that it could possibly be any action that's good or an action that is bad, he clarified and he sought clarification and details. And after this, he mentioned the ruling and he made it permissible. Also, we benefit from that great understanding that we all are aware of, and that is that principle of al-ilmu qabl al-qawli wal-amal, that knowledge precedes speech and action. And this is the methodology of the Sahaba. This man, he came and he asked first. He made that oath and he didn't go fulfill it first by himself and then ask later, like many of the people do today. Allahu al-musta'an, they have an idea, they want to do something and they go do it. And then after that, they think, wait, was that right or wrong? And then they go ask. And was this right? Particularly in the Hajj, they'll do the actions and then come later and and ask for the fatawa. And that is not correct. Rather, this is the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and this is the actions of a person that will be recorded for him and held accountable. And these are actions that one would hope to be in the scale of good deeds, so that he will perform them upon clarity and upon insight and basira and the likes. And if he's unclear, he will ask first, so that he can perform the actions and the statements upon clarity and insight in the best manner, not taking it lightly and doing it however he likes and then later asking, oh, was it right or was it wrong? La, this is not the correct way. Rather, knowledge, it precedes every statement and every action. We see this is the methodology of this companion here. He went to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first before he went there and he performed the action. Al-rabi'ah istifsalu al-mufti idha ihtaja ila dhalika. Here the fourth benefit is that the one who gives the ruling, or the individual who is being asked about the religious verdict, that it's from his manners and from his way that he will seek details if he needs to. If the issue that is he's being asked about, and he's being asked about the ruling of something, that if the question could go one or two ways, it could be understood in more than one light, then he must seek detail. and if he needs to. Not in every question. Not every question requires a person to ask for detail. But if that is the case, then it's upon him to ask question and to get the detail of that question before he gives the answer and the ruling. Before he gives the answer and the ruling. الخامسة, the fifth فائدة أو مسألة he mentioned, أن تخصيص البقعة بالنذر لا بأس به إذا خلا من الموانع. The fifth benefit here, the mas'ala that the author he mentioned, rahimahullah, is that to specify a particular place for slaughtering, any meaning for the sake of Allah, is permissible. And there's no problem with that, so long as there are nothing there that will prohibit this issue. To specify, to say, to make an oath, for example, to fulfill a particular deed or to slaughter in a particular land, this is permissible. Especially if a person, he knows, for example, like in some lands that there are a lot of poor people there, that he would make the oath that he want to slaughter or to for this action to be performed there, and it to benefit the poor in that particular land, or to do it in Mecca or Medina because of the virtue of those places, then this is permissible to specify his oath to be performed in that place, so long as there are nothing there will prohibit that, meaning having this foul intention or being in a place that is resembling the people of disbelief, so on and so forth, as has preceded. السادسة المنعو منه إذا كان فيه وثن من أوثان الجاهلية ولو بعد زواره. The sixth issue is referring back to the fifth, and that is impermissible. And the word, it would be permissible, but it would be impermissible if there used to be an idol there, a wathan from the days of Jahiliyyah, if there was one there or there used to be one there, even after it has been removed. Even after it has been removed, it still would not be permissible to slaughter there and fulfill that oath there. السابعة المنعو منه إذا كان فيه عيد من أعيادهم ولو بعد زواله. Also, the seventh mas'ala is that it's also impermissible to fulfill the oath there if there was a celebration from their celebrations, even after that celebration had ended. Even after that celebration had ended, it used to be a place of shirk, or it used to be a place of their celebrations. It's not permissible to fulfill the oath there, because this could revive that action. This could revive that action. The people, maybe they have forgotten about that, or they have left that deed, alhamdulillah, but that place is still known for that. And then a person, he goes there, and then they see him there, and he reminds them of the deed of their forefathers, or the way of their ancestors, and this could revive that action. That is impermissible. So therefore, it's not permissible to go there, even after it has been removed, or after it has stopped. As for if that place was turned into something else after that has been removed, a place of shirk, for example, was turned into something else, then it was turned into a home or business or some of the likes like this, or was turned even into an upright masjid, then after that, praying there would be permissible, or worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal sincerely there would be permissible. But until then it is not. ثامنة, the eighth one, أنه لا يجوز الوفاء بما نظر في تلك البقعة لأنه نذر معصية. The eighth affair is that it is not permissible to fulfill the oath there in that particular place, because at that time it will be considered an oath of disobedience. An oath of disobedience. Now, this was derived from the hadith, that whenever he asked him, was it a place of idols or was it a place of celebration? He said, no, it wasn't. So now he allowed him. And then he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because it's not permissible to fulfill the oath in the disobedience of Allah. Meaning that if it had been a place of celebrations, to fulfill it there would be disobedience to Allah. If it had been a place of idols there before, to fulfill the oath there would be disobedience to Allah. Naam? We understand that? So this is what the author is mentioning here. So to slaughter for the sake of Allah alone in a place where there is slaughtered for other than the sake of Allah, or a place where there were celebrations from the celebrations of the kuffar, this is not shirk, and it is not minor shirk either, but it is haram. It is ma'asiyah. It's disobedience. It's disobedience, to clarify. And because everything thus far from this chapter, the majority of the issues that we have discussed in the past few chapters, most of them were all either shirk or major shirk or minor shirk. But this one would not be considered shirk nor minor shirk, but rather it is disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and it is haram. It is disobedience to Allah and it is haram. And it is from the aspect of imitating the kuffar and the enemies of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and resembling them and following their ways and participating with them in their evil and their misguidance. At-Taziyah, الحذر من مشابهة المشركين في أعيادهم ولو لم يقصده. Allahu Akbar. He says the ninth one is to be aware and to be cautious from imitating the mushrikeen in their celebrations, even if the person did not intend that. Even if the person did not intend that. He didn't intend to imitate them. Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned that it's not the intention is not required, or it's not a condition for tashabbuh bil kuffar to be established. And for a person to be considered imitating the kuffar, it's not intended, it's not a condition that he have the intention. It's not a condition that he have the intention. Somebody, for example, who is imitating them and something specific to them from their celebrations, or something specific to them in their manners, or something specific to them in their clothing, and then he would say, no, I don't have no intention to imitate them. We say that it's not a condition for you to have the intention, but rather this is something specific to them and you're doing it. So you are imitating them, whether you intended it or not. Whether you intended it or not. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum." Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum. And also, whoever imitates or resembles a people, then he's from them. And also, likewise, a person that he would only, his outside represents something on the inside. So the people who imitate them in their way, specifically, something specific to them, only they do it. And then he does it too. This is because in his heart he likes that thing. There's an attachment in the heart. That's why the outward side of his life is in the manner that it is, because of the inside of his heart is like that. And in this manner, he has an attachment in his heart to that way. That's why it has appeared on his actions or on his statements. نعم. العاشرة لا نذرة في معصية. لا نذرة في معصية. يعني لا يجوز. نعم. أو لا وفاء. نعم. The tenth one, the tenth مسألة, that it's not permissible to fulfill the oath in the disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. الحادية عشرة, the 11th مسألة, and the last one, لا نذرة لبن آدم فيما لا يملك. Also, it's not permissible to fulfill the oath for one who took a vow or an oath with regards to something he does not own. Something that he does not own or he does not have the ability to do. And with that we close. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.